You're listening to Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Dive into the world of mobile gaming with us as we explore the latest trends and discuss best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize, where we talk to some of the best and brightest minds in the mobile gaming industry. Now, today, we're going to be talking about all things live ops, and joining me to help discuss this is Daphna Benon, Director of Monetization at SciPlay. Daphna, so great to have you on. How are you doing? I'm so glad that we managed to finally schedule this podcast.
I am doing great. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to finally do this. I'm excited to share some of our insights, and this is going to be great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So diving straight into things, we have a lot to get through, as we just mentioned. I want to know a little bit about you and your journey. So what inspired you to enter the gaming industry, and how has your journey sort of evolved to lead you to SciPlay's monetization team?
Well, of course, this is a long story, but I do consider myself first and foremost a gamer. Nice. My first like actual game, I think I was like 10 years old, fourth grade, going to my best friend's house and playing Heroes of Might and Mighty on her actual computer for hours and hours a day. Fell in love with the genre of playing games and never actually realized that that is an actual career that someone can
take. You're like, we're taken.
I feel like a lot of us have like stumbled upon it and didn't realize that people are actually building these games, and it wasn't my agenda. At no point I thought this would be my agenda. I studied engineering and kind of fell into the world of marketing when I graduated.
Right.
And then one thing led to another, and my friend suggested I join a gaming company. And I think for the last 14 years, I've been in gaming companies, and I stick to it because of my passion to games. I feel like I really can relate to a player and understand what their perspective is when they play. And and it's one of my core values to really play the games and understand what the players are experiencing through their eyes and put yourself in that mindset. And I think that keeps me here and every day passionate about what I do, because I do believe there's almost like the calling of serving the players and providing the best experience for players.
Right. And I think the fact that you are a gamer, you're able to put yourself in their shoes in a way that's like, wait, what would I like from this? Not in a way where you're sort of like disjointed from the whole situation and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah. And I always say my job, people don't believe me, but I'm a director of monetization. Obviously the word money is in my title, but I do say my job is to provide the best experience for the player to stay day over day, to keep the games fresh, to keep it exciting. And I think a byproduct of that is getting money from the players, because that is basically their vote of confidence towards us that we did a good job. They enjoy it. They want to keep on doing this thing that we provided for them. And so I really think that that is the calling. That is the thing that we do here is serve our players.
Right. So interesting stuff. So can you share, you know, live ops? Let's talk about live ops. It seems like it's, you know, every time I open LinkedIn, every time I sort of read anything related to mobile gaming, it's all about live ops right now. So can you share how live ops events are structured at SciPlay, and how do they fit into this broader player experience that you sort of touched on?
Well, first of all, like, I agree with you. Live ops is kind of blowing up. And I feel like it's a new thing. This year, we've been nominated at a conference in Germany for best live ops. I don't think that that category existed even 2-3 years ago. I was actually very, very surprised. And I do think this is now a buzzword, and we're going to conferences to share, because I feel like there's a thirst to understand how do you create this experience. So to me, again, live ops is an experience that you provide to the players, and it has come to life in order to solve for a gap. And the gap is that the traditional way to build and grow games was to deliver the next feature.
Right.
The thing with features is, yes, it provides an immersive, very, very well-rounded experience to a player, but it's very expensive to develop. And developing games overall is very expensive. And when you have your team build this new thing, you develop a feature, you put so much of your eggs into one basket, basically, because even if you're a large team, the majority of the team is focused on this big thing. You don't actually know if it's going to work. Hopefully, you did your research well and your gap analysis well, and you know exactly what you're building, you're going to hit. But even if it's a huge success in between the features, it's really hard to keep the players excited. And so live ops are there to serve that gap and like create a fresh experience, depending on the cadence that you can provide a fresh experience with live ops to your players. The structure that we have on live ops events is really to think of your calendar. We schedule these things on a, let's say, a monthly basis, but sometimes even a yearly basis. You take your entire year and then you start breaking it down to smaller chunks. So let's say you got to a month, and then you need to really, like the way that we look at it, we really try to understand with this analogy that I learned somewhere at the beginning of my career, and I really, really buy into it, of having a jar and filling it with a large stones, large rocks, which for us are always the holidays. You can't not have a Thanksgiving that is coming up tomorrow event in your game. If you have the resources to do a live ops event, you can't miss a big holiday like that. The next thing for us, which is unique, but I think it can translate to all game genres, is the content. If you have a new content delivery, for us, it's slot. If we have a new large slot that we know is very successful in the casino floor, then we take that and we do a huge celebration and a huge live ops event around that. So those are our big rocks. And then we start and we fill up this jar of the live ops calendar with the smaller items, and then even trickle down to the smallest items. The clever thing that you need to learn to do is how to make sure that everything ties together from one event to the other, where you really understand what the KPIs of every event that you run impacts, and then you're setting up your players to and your events to the best success possible, the best point possible for the next one. So if you have several currencies in your game, if one event drains a coin, a currency, but gives something else in return, more times than none, the next event should now ask to drain this new currency that you gave as a reward and give something else in return. So it's always like this balancing act. I almost call it music, because it reminds me like an orchestra of like going up, going down, and it kind of flows well together. And there is an experience and a journey that you take your players throughout your live ops calendar. And that's the way that I believe we structure. Well, let me say it differently. This is how we structure our live ops events based on my philosophy.
Right, and I feel like when you said that, I just immediately thought of like you guys as the conductors of the music. So interesting stuff. So we've talked a little bit about what live ops is. What about the sort of impact it has on player retention? What impact does live op have on player retention, these events, and how do you keep these events fresh and engaging? I know you mentioned holidays, and that is an important factor within this. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Daphna?
Okay, so that's really two parts to that question. Retention is a huge key success for our events. And the way to think about it from our perspective is really to do a lot of experiments and understand which events impact what. What is the time frame for each event that you have in your game? And how do you create these time loops in your game? And there's no one magic answer. It's not that if you do this, then you retain your players more. It's more of like understanding for your game what is the right cadence of events and what is the right duration of events. Another thing that I would say is there's a balancing act to this, so it's not like an easy thing to do, but the more you give, well, we have seen through time and experiments that the more you give your main currency as rewards in live ops events, you will retain your players more. Now, you can't give that too much because everything is a business at the end of the day. So there needs to be a balance, and that's the magic of the job. Yeah, so that's that. What was the second part of it?
How do you keep events sort of like fresh and engaging? I guess I wanted to ask.
Well, I'm very lucky to be working on Jackpot Party, which is such a large game, which comes with a lot of resources.
Right.
And our bar to freshness is very, very high because we have seen that creating freshness with the art itself makes a huge impact. With that said, I do believe that there's freshness that can come not only with new art. I think that different configurations for different times of the player journey and the life cycles are very impactful. So, for example, with the same art, you can take different tasks and ask the players to do different things. That creates freshness. So there is creativity aspect to it of like, what are the tools that you have and how can you utilize it to the best so that you keep the ROI as high as possible, like reusing things over and over and over with creativity to what task you're giving and what rewards also that could be a completely exponential amount of mix and matches now.
Yeah.
So that's one of the tricks that we use in order to create freshness.
Interesting. So what about data? There's so much talk about data, as always. That's never going away. So how does SciPlay use data to tailor in-game offers and events? And how do you ensure this sort of aligns with player preferences?
Right. I would say 100% of our decision-making process relies on data. I think it's such a key factor to our success. We really map out the events within the live ops flow and really understand what are the drop-offs and try to optimize towards that. And then looking at what everyone did combined, but then segmented down and like really trickle to like and really like drill down and understand what did every group of players, and if we can get to the individual, we would try and get there if that is impactful enough and meaningful enough. And based on that, we optimize over and over and over again. I don't think we even strive to get to what is the right formula. We are always in a process of seeking the next optimization opportunity. And that is how we integrate data to keep the growth of this game.
Right. And I don't think we can obviously touch on data without talking about sort of issues with privacy, especially with what's been going on with all these legislations. So, what does privacy in mobile gaming, how has this impacted your approach to monetization? How are you guys adapting to this? How are you working around it?
That's a tricky one because within user acquisition and retargeting, like the activities of keeping the game from ads and everything that's happening across the stores and the providers, those are really challenging aspects that are affecting the business. And we have a lot of clever people going and like coming up with simulations and understanding how to best optimize towards that within the game itself, because we don't have ads in the game. We don't monetize it through anything but in-app purchases. We don't face the privacy issue a lot. And so I almost want to say that we're a little bit lucky in that aspect, that it doesn't affect us as much as it affects others. Is
No,
that
yeah. I mean that's lucky, I guess.
yeah.
So we've talked about the opportunities with live ops. Obviously, we all know the opportunities. You've really touched on that. But what about the challenges? And what's been a major challenge for you, Daphne, running successful live ops events? And perhaps you could even identify some solutions that have proven, effective to to some of those problems that you faced?
It's interesting, but there are a lot of challenges always with running a game. The first thing that comes to my mind when I'm thinking of the challenges is actually from the team perspective. Being a live ops PM is very taxing, because you are the first line of defense through every issue that happens in the game. You are responsible to hitting all the goals of the game because you are running the game. First and foremost, this is your job. And so I see a lot of burnout with the effort that it takes to run a really, really good operation of live ops. And that's, as a team manager, as a director of monetization, it is, in my perspective, the biggest challenge that we have. How to create this pride and excitement day over day over day. It's almost, if I'm being a little bit cheesy, live opsing the experience of working on
Yeah, love it.
and that's a challenge. And
Yeah. I like that you mentioned at the company level. I wasn't expecting that, but it's something that when you said it, I was like, wait a second, she's absolutely right. That would be very taxing.
I appreciate that, and I think it touches both on small games and large games, because when you're a small game, then you have less people to share the load with. The game still runs 24/7. And when you're a big game, then every decision that you make, every change that you make impacts so much money, and so much of the responsibility of the business is on you. So it's different, but it's still a lot of impact and wear down on the people. And yeah, well, that's one challenge that I think is ongoing. From the game perspective, which is actually what you asked. I think it's the freshness and understanding the impact of your ROI to the things that you do. When I started running a live ops event 6 years ago in a game that didn't have anything, it's really easy to quantify the impact of the things that you do because you have nothing, you have a clear test, and then you understand what is the impact. When a game is older, in these days, and more saturated with a lot of meta features plus live ops events that are impacting the economy of meta features and also are focused on doing X, Y, Z, depending on the KPIs that you're trying to move, then you find yourself a little bit of not, it's not easy to isolate the impact of the event that you're running, even if it's a brand new, because And that it and that is a challenge, because then you need to justify continue investing and growing and making more of things. But it's a tricky thing to kind of handle. I think another challenge is optimization. I think it The way that I put it, I think we have three errors. There was like the back then, like five, 6 years ago when LiveOps started. From my experience, what we would do is it was just in the diapers of like how to do LiveOps. So we would put a pop-up in, we would ask a task from literally everyone in the game to do something, and we would say, if you reach this combined, we will give you this. And I call that like a blanket type of event. Like everyone's getting the exact same thing. We don't have good UI UX, and we're hoping for the best. And it actually moved the needle because it was so young and the players were so excited to get something. The reaction was very, very positive. Obviously, through the years, we developed systems and we developed like better UI UX, where you can see if you do this you specifically, then you will get that based on your timelines and your engagement. And the more you put in, the better you get. I think that's more of like a segmented approach where groups of people would get similar tasks. I think that's the second phase. And we're now in a third phase, which is more personalized experience. Like me, Daphna, what am I going to get based on my personal experience? What is the right task for me based on what I most engage with in the game? And that is a challenge because I think, first of all, we would need to rely on AI that still is not fully matured to give us all the tools that we need. But I do think that it now allows us to start visualizing where we would like to get to. And this is some sort of a challenge that we're facing right now. I do think that we have made strides in getting to a personalized experience, but I think we have more to go. And I have no idea what the future holds, but I do think that that is a challenge that the entire industry is facing right now. It's like how to tackle that, how to get to the place where it's the most accurate experience for a player.
Right. Interesting stuff. So, last question for you here, Daphna. And no pressure, but for those interested in game monetization and live ops, what skills and experience would you recommend focusing on to thrive in this field? I mean, I think you're very warranted to give this advice. You've been in this space for a while now. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I think my answer, I hope would not surprise anyone, is just something that I always give advice to every new person that joins our teams. It doesn't matter in what role. If you want to be in the game industry, I think we're so lucky to be able to experience the products that we're selling. Very different. I always say this is very differently than the pharmaceutical, right? You can't try your product when you're in the pharmaceutical because that's not. But we're lucky and we do have the advantage. We can't put ourselves in the player's mindset. I find so many bugs in games that I play, not only in the client part of it, but also from the logic part of it. Because I put myself in the mindset and I, from time to time, purchase so ca I can understand what happens before, what happens after, what drove me to purchase. Like, we're really lucky. And everyone that goes into the gaming industry, I do think that it expedites their learning process when they really understand the game that they work on and the players that work on. And a player is not one type, there are so many types. So think of who am I right now when I'm playing the game, and what time of day it is? Am I rushing to work? Do I have all the time in the world to play right now? My session is going to be long or short because of it. So many things, and so that is almost like a trivial answer. I think the second thing, again, I'm not being super creative here, but critical thinking and really asking yourself, why am I doing the things that I'm doing for our players? I think a lot of the younger people that join the gaming industry that I see come up with a shiny idea because it is cool, or I don't know. It's like I feel like a lot of people are like, hey, I have a cool idea, let's do this. What I always recommend people to not focus on the cool ideas is to first try to understand what is the gap that I see in the game that I own, and how can I solve it, even if it's just a tweak? Those are the things that, in my opinion, makes the most impact, because over time it accumulates to a big thing, and it's more efficient because it costs less most of the time. Of course, I'm generalizing. I don't know every situation, every gap. It just comes from a marketing course that I took at first year in college. Like, first understand what the problem is and then create the solution. I think that is just such great advice that I did not invent.
Right, but taking it back to
Not taking
basics,
credit for it.
I love that. Taking it back to basics, I love that idea of sometimes you kind of have to like the solutions compound rather than having this one big idea. And I think, like you said, like younger people coming into companies, I could very much see that happening.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, absolutely. Some real gems of knowledge there, Daphna. Thank you so much for your time. This has been a fantastic discussion.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
That was it for this week's episode of Mobilize and Monetize. Until next time, thanks everyone.